This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is not quite One Bills Live here today. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're hanging out with you today and tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. here. Come with it now. Oh, there it is.
Were you timing that out?
Yes, it was. My brain works differently, I guess, and I had the taps going on there, trying to, you know, get it going there. So, I had to also resist every urge to start singing Bulls on Parade, which, you know, that's not a good idea for radio.
No, but it would be funny.
It would be my last day.
Our boss did say like 20 minutes ago, be funny. So
I did say it. Yeah, I did say, when am I not? And that's kind of like, that might have been the most arrogant thing I ever said.
He agreed, though.
Yes.
Which is key. That's key.
I know, but now that I think about it, I hate it.
Nah.
Why did I agree?
Let it ride.
Ugh, being arrogant, that's not my thing.
Let it ride.
I make fun of myself, that's what I do.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to get there plenty of time today.
Yeah,
we'll get there in plenty of time, but you know what we can't make fun of? The Bills are 9-2, baby, and they have looked good. They have their most impressive, most emotional win of the season with the Chiefs, and I got to say, it was funny doing pregame for Breakfast with the Bills last week on Sunday. And within an hour's time, I got myself going from, I don't care about this game, to, I appreciate that the Bills are in the national scope.
Watching the CBS pregame and
watching them
be
here. Mm-hmm. And it took a little bit of this appreciation route. Like, I didn't really still worry about the end result of the game, but I did appreciate the fact that it is the new Manning Brady. And that's cool.
I still argue it's better already.
It's better already.
Better early. We'll see the full
it's
career.
More ready? It's more even early.
Mm-hmm.
Because Allen does still win games against the Chiefs. At the start of the Brady Manning rivalry, Peyton couldn't get anything going, regular season or post.
Mm-hmm. The real big difference there between the two, outside of that, I mean, because you're right, like Peyton was just, he would show up and it was like, all right, and the Patriots win, and the Patriots
win. And the Patriots win like 42-9. It's like, what the heck?
And Peyton would throw three picks.
I mean, honestly,
the quarterback that
like
most
he looked
compares.
Disastrous against the Patriots.
Yeah, the quarterback that most compares in this era actually to Manning's career, just as an overall, is actually Lamar.
Yes.
For just in the big games,
he has
goes
the MVPs.
From, yeah. And that was the big difference, is that early in that rivalry, Brady dominated, but it was more also he dominated the record books, and he was getting Super Bowls, and he was getting the AFC Championship games, where for Manning, it was, everyone remembers the bad rookie year into 13-3, and it was like, oh, you know, worst to first, here we go. No one really remembers that they then missed the playoffs, I think, the following year, the year after that. And then he doesn't get his first playoff win until, I think, year six.
I'm pretty sure I would punch air.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously this will be a future problem. It's not this year's problem, I'll tell you that. But I will punch so much air whenever or if ever the Bills go to the playoff, don't go to the playoffs, with Josh Allen on this roster.
And the Manning Colts for a lot. I mean, they went through a few coaches with him as quarterback. I mean, they did that a lot. And now you look at where Mahomes and Allen are at, and they both entered the NFL in very different stages of their team's lifespans. The Chiefs already had Tyreek Hill. They had Travis Kelce. Andy Reid's already there. They were making playoff appearances. They made the playoffs the year prior with Alex Smith at quarterback, where the Bills had broken a drought but then tore all of it down in doing so. They had not planned on making the playoffs in 2017. They had planned on building towards making the playoffs. They just happened to do so year one. And now you're sort of starting to see this Bills team with Allen have, you know, this is really now his team. They've had years to kind of cultivate what they want to do. They're not learning on the fly anymore. This is sort of the culture that the Bills have created.
You are who you are.
Yeah.
And that is what this rivalry really became at this point, is you're both who you are. Kansas City is the team that has, like you said, they dominate the record books, so to say. They've got the Super Bowls. They've got the, you know, consecutive hosting of AFC championship games. It's disgusting. But then, hey, here comes Buffalo, the one team that can consistently compete with Kansas City. And that is quite frankly what it is. They're the one team that can beat Kansas City on a consistent basis. Nobody else could do it. Baltimore? No.
I want to say
their
Cincinnati.
Best chance, yeah, Cincinnati, even that has fizzled so fast.
Well, it's more like Cincinnati always has their
they
best
had
game
a
against
year.
Kansas City, but then they're also now
within
4-7.
A calendar year they did it, and then they started talking, getting arrogant, and they've been humble the last two times that these teams had played. Cincinnati only did it in a bigger setting.
Yes,
they did it in an AFC Championship game.
Yep.
Whereas the most memorable games that you see with the Chiefs, outside of that one with Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game. Typically, you remember Kansas City against Buffalo more times than not when you recap seasons.
Yeah. That has become the game of the year.
It has become
the game of
the year.
Playoffs or the regular season, it is the game of the year, really, for the last three or four.
And I was kind of getting tired of it, but then I got to appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still didn't worry about the result because I still think the one seed is a moot point because Kansas City has voodoo and dark magic. But
I'm not there yet. I think it's
and we'll have a lot of time to talk about that. We got 2 days to do this. But for me, it's also about standing back, appreciating it, and then like thinking about this new generation of Bills fans that's going to be coming up here. What does my nephew know? He knows Josh Allen is cool.
Mm-hmm. He's a superhero. Yeah,
he's a superhero. He can do amazing things, and the Bills are great. What did I know as a kid? Well, when I was a kid, I knew. You had come off of 4 Super Bowls, and you were still a very good team, but then the Jim Kelly injury happens against Jacksonville, and nothing's ever the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a forward pass that shouldn't have counted, and then I never saw the playoffs again until I started working here, oddly enough. That was still one of the coolest weeks of my life.
Oh,
when they broke the drought. But what was your Bills experience when you were...
Well, we went over that this morning on the Extra Point Show with Drought Bills players.
Yep. So that's what it is.
That was my childhood.
So your generation knew as a kid, they stink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, though, there's this group of kids that the Bills are, as you just said, like they're essentially superheroes to an entire generation. And this is... how many feathers I'm going to ruffle with this? I'm going to make sure I'm not like anyone talking about like, you know, past problems.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have to endure anything. I'm ecstatic. I'm stoked that the kids get to learn. This team is awesome. And that's what they go in with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't have to suffer like I did.
Yeah, no.
You don't have to suffer like you did. Like,
I'd rather fans not go through that.
I'd rather kids not go through that. And that is something that, oddly enough, we have with the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an entire fan base, or there's an entire generation of hockey fans, or even missing fans, because you've gone 14 years now without making it.
Yeah.
Or 13. There's an entire generation of wasted potential, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
because they couldn't even accidentally be good once right now. Well, accidentally they were good, but they still missed the playoffs.
Yep.
And that was 2 years ago. And I think, again, like this is just one of those things where I think about my nephew in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
He loves hockey. And yet the Sabres are cheeks. They had a nice win last night, though. That was a very, very impressive win.
I woke up this morning to them in a playoff spot.
I was up this morning at 1 a.m. when the game concluded. And it was a very good win. It was a gutsy win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have no Tage, no Greenway. Gutsy win. Very gutsy win. And I'll want to riff on that a little bit to hear, too. Yes, I know it's quote-unquote one Bills live, but it's not. It's two dudes.
It's two dudes.
We're two dudes live. I'm a dude. He's a dude. She's a dude. We're all dudes, all right? Kel Mitchell, baby. What are you thinking, though, when it comes to, after all of this, after all the appreciation here,
mm-hmm.
It's the first time that I'm really going to start diving into expectation now. And mine heading into the bye week is this. Get healthy and dominate where you dominate. We have some fun numbers that we're really going to dive into tomorrow. So be ready for that. Come back for that. We got fun stats about how they dominate.
Yeah, spoiler alert. This team is really good in late November, early December.
We're about to get spoiled by this team, and they're 9-2. That's the scary part about it is that we're about to see them hit their best stretch that they typically hit every year,
mm-hmm.
and they're already 9-2.
They're off to their best start since, funny enough, 1992. Talking with Sal Capaccio yesterday, too, on the Extra Point Show, you can also, though, say this is not actually the most talented Bills team of this Josh Allen era.
No.
And yet they are, I don't even want to necessarily say they're the most cohesive or anything like that, but I know Aaron Schatz, a big friend of the station, has always kind of said this. A lot of teams that win their first Super Bowl, it isn't in their best year. We talked Chiefs last year, but we've talked about the Colts.
By God, last year.
We talked about the Peyton Manning Colts.
Yeah.
2006 wasn't their best year.
No,
it just happened to be the year they won it.
And this goes back to, it's better to be lucky than good.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the 2022 season. Like, you had just lost to Kansas City in the most heartbreaking way possible. And you sign Von Miller. You run it back. You've got everyone together for it. And they put up their biggest playoff dud that we had seen in a very long time.
Yep.
Against Cincinnati at home.
And you're thinking to yourself,
you're getting ready for, hopefully, like, you play well in this game, you get to neutral site, AFC Championship, Kansas City, it's on,
mm-hmm.
and then we managed to lose all respect for the Cincinnati fan base at that point.
How
dare you sell tickets to something you might be having?
Like our team's doing.
Even though they did the same thing.
Yeah, like our team's doing.
But
I look at those last 2 years and why I've been banging the drum of health. I'm not somebody that's saying that they've got to bench their players for the next 2-3 weeks and just
health.
I'm not saying that. But just why, for me, just health is so important. This team has not been healthy in the last 2 years in their sort of we need to win now modes with older players.
With some of their best rosters.
With some of their best rosters. Last year, we all kind of joke about it. But ultimately, yeah, like they're... three best linebackers were all down.
Buffalo's healthiest roster was the last time they made the AFC Championship game. That's not a coincidence.
And even then.
And they weren't ready yet.
They weren't ready yet, but even then we also found out what Cole Beasley had a huge leg injury. Stephon mm-hmm. Diggs was dealing with some stuff. And that kind of looked like the case.
But when it comes to game day rosters,
mm-hmm.
that was the healthiest that they were. It was in 2020. Yep. And they just were not ready for the big time yet.
No, I mean, they'd arrived. I mean,
they'd arrived, but they hadn't. They weren't there yet. They weren't on that Kansas City team's level.
Yeah, the expectations going into that year were just another step forward for Allen. Let's see how Stephon Diggs hits. Also, it being the COVID year, let's just have a season.
Let's get through this.
Yeah, let's together. Get through this. I wonder what that was like in the locker room, even in training camp. You know, when it was
locker
fresh.
Room, training camp, but even for the fan base, it's like mm-hmm. let's get through this together.
And then the season started.
The Bills had one of their best seasons when everyone needed it the most.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here we are, the Bills are having one of their best seasons when everyone, not everyone, but like when a lot of people least expected it.
Oh, I love this. This is my favorite because I don't want to say I was banging the drum in the offseason, but it was always something of like, don't give up on them because they're in a year in transition. You mentioned Kansas City won a Super Bowl the last 2 years and arguably years in transition where they're trying to figure out what their next kind of
what their next big receiver is.
Yeah. Bills could absolutely do it. They have more than talented enough defense. Me and Sneaky Joe were talking this morning. I'm with him. I don't necessarily know if I agree that their run defense is necessarily this huge weakness. If their offense can score like they have been the last few weeks,
you could push
that. Forced to throw. Yeah,
you could dictate play.
Their biggest problem against Baltimore, they couldn't score.
They
so
couldn't
the Ravens
score.
Could just keep handing it off to Henry.
It didn't help that the first handoff to Henry, he storms off for a touchdown. And it's we're off and running. But
fully agree.
Also doesn't help. You didn't score. And they're able to dictate pace.
Yep.
When you're able to dictate the pace, you make them have to be forced to throw, like you said. The run defense problem goes away. It's non-existent at that point. What does Kansas City have to do throughout the entire game? Keep up. The Bills got off to a hot start in that game. Mm-hmm. They pick off Mahomes on his first attempt on the second play from scrimmage, and we're off and running. Bills score a touchdown. Kansas City had to fight their way back the whole time.
They took the lead, right before halftime? But then the Bills even then are up 16-14 at half.
Yeah, Bills still managed to come away at the half with the lead.
So Kansas City, you're right. Kansas City was constantly chasing the game. They're still elite on third downs.
They are still elite on third downs.
They are still an incredibly...
And the Bills have... I'd say that's their biggest issue on defense, is sometimes not getting off the field when they need to. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that will have to do with... Hey, guess what? You're going to get Matt Milano back, too. You know what's going to help with third downs? A rangy linebacker that can go sideline to sideline with anyone and everyone.
And ultimately for him, too, specifically, it's not a lower body injury. It's not even any of those injuries that you're kind of worried, like, all right, are we rushing him back a little bit?
No.
Nope, it's an upper body where he'll be fine.
He knows how he's feeling at some point, and then there we go. It's not a speed issue at that point. Sometimes a lower body injury will tax on the legs, and you can't move as fast as you should.
And that's the thing, too. He's gotten longer rest period now with the lower body injury he picked up last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit much, but he's gotten more time to get healthy there. Am I expecting all-pro middle line or all-pro linebacker Matt Milano to come right in? Not really, no. There's going to have to be a ramp-up period here. I do think he's going to be a very good linebacker still, though.
Now, here's the fun part about this. The Bills went into the beginning of their buzzsaw part of the schedule, and they come away with one already. You got the 49ers. They're banged up. They're not the same thing that they've been in years past. They are dealing with a slew of injuries, and they continue. George Kittle is already like, okay, I'm playing against the Packers. Okay. That means you might not be available for Bills.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. I'm not going to guarantee anything with that man. The Rams are the Rams.
They're streaky.
They're streaky.
They're streaky.
They're very hot and cold, but you can beat them. You're the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Lions, which might be the new game of the year.
Yeah.
Could that get moved into 8 o'clock?
Maybe. I will say that there's a better chance of that. CBS might let that one go. They just had Bills for Game of the Year.
Yeah, where they're like, all right, it'll be our main 4 or 5 window, but no.
They'd be like, fine, we'll let you have this one, but guess what? Next year, you don't get to touch Bills Chiefs.
They could push that so hard, though, as a
Super Bowl
preview.
Yes. They could.
Let's say, just for argument's sake, the Chiefs drop one here. And all of a sudden, the Bills do overtake them for the one seed. They could totally push that as a Super Bowl.
That's one seed v. one seed at that point. Yeah.
Then it just becomes like, you might be seeing this in a month and a half.
You might be seeing this. Yeah. That's something the NFL will have an interesting scenario there for. But for me now, it's you beat the Chiefs. You're 9-2. The division is all but at this point your birthright this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure if everyone loses, they might be able to clinch by the time they walk on the field on Sunday next week.
Yeah, they might be able to.
I don't have the math in front of me. I'm being very lazy with this, and that's and I'm admitting that, but that's okay.
Well, I think we want the Patriots to win this week against the Dolphins.
Yes, because then that puts Miami down once and for all.
Yes, and then the Jets are also on the bye, but they play at 1 o'clock against Seattle next Sunday.
Okay, so they'd be five.
And if they lose to Seattle, I think then they're also.
So they can't. Out. They can't officially clinch, thanks to Miami, oddly enough, sitting there at 4-6. If they lose to New England, that's still 5 games back with 6 remaining.
Yep.
Actually, well. No, because then New England would have 4 wins, and it's the same question.
Oh, yep, okay.
And they've yet to play the Patriots.
Yeah, that's. So they have three straight NFC games here.
So for complete disaster
and
to happen.
And then they finish out with three straight AFC East games. The problem is two of them are against the Patriots, a team you have not played yet this year.
Which is funny because that's the only reason you wouldn't be allowed to clinch.
Is because you haven't played the Patriots yet.
It's because you haven't played the Patriots yet. Oh, and you play them twice. Because Buffalo would have that extra, yeah, like, quote-unquote, half game on Miami after sweeping them.
I would totally love, though, to, like, clinch by, like, week 12.
It would have been hilarious.
I mean, how bad is the AFC East been? Like, for as great as the Bills have been in terms of record, 9-2, awesome, the AFC East equally has been as bad. The Patriots, everyone
at least
going
Miami
into this,
in years past has been hanging in.
Or straight up, or straight at this point, beating you.
It. Yeah. Or straight up holding the AFC East over you like last year at this moment, a year ago.
But you have them with the Tua injury and really the team makeup, I think, kind of showing it's not great.
Chris Greer can't build a defense still.
Yeah, it's not great. And then the Jets.
Oh, we'll get on the Jets.
In your wildest dreams, you couldn't have imagined it would go this perfect. You could not have imagined in your wildest. You were hoping. You yes. were hoping. But in
and
reality.
We'll dunk on the Jets. And I think maybe we'll do that next episode. I don't know. But. And then New England's New England.
Yep. That was expected.
Yes.
With that being said, they're getting really good play out of Drake May. If you're a Patriots fan, you're happy with this year. I'm getting good play out of Drake May, and I'm figuring it out. You're
yes,
happy.
That is. It's funny that the most optimistic of the three teams behind Buffalo are New England, then Miami, and then the Jets, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, Miami, I still think I have a quarterback. New England, I'm convincing myself I have a quarterback.
The Jets.
What do the Jets have?
Not a GM and not a coach.
I'll tell you what they have. They have a longer playoff drought than the Buffalo Sabres. Thank you.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, the spotlight stays on them. Thank God.
Well, and now, but every now and then they're going to bring up the list and you're going to see the Sabres right there with them. And you're like,
that's
okay.
Fine. You want to know what? They're not the first.
No, that's fair. But they're also in sort of a no man's land spot.
Oh, they are.
Like I was talking with Josh earlier this week, too. If you look at the AFC West. And Kansas City, obviously, the cream of the crop. They've won that division, what, 7 years in a row, 8 years in a row, something like that?
Yeah.
But Herbert with Harbaugh is working already. Already. They're 7-3.
Yeah.
They played them close early. I'm really excited for that second matchup.
I don't trust them at all. I don't trust the
Harbaugh's one thing. Harbaugh does something.
Harbaugh does something, but so do the Chargers.
That's fair, but you kind of
look at the Chargers-Bengals game.
But exactly.
No.
They
don't
got rid of that demon.
No, they didn't. Cincinnati just showed theirs worse.
Sure, that's fine.
Cincinnati can't stop a mild cold.
Ultimately, somebody had to extinguish their demons. Maybe LA did. And you got another matchup with Kansas City.
Or someone,
Denver also, by the way, with Bo Nix.
Or someone outdid the other with the derpiness of the two franchises.
That's fine. But all these guys need, you know, mentally, I guess, is to see it work out for them. They see that happen. All of a sudden, it's like, we got this. We can do this. It's not charging anymore.
Denver is a fascinating team.
And then Denver with Bo Nix and Peyton is working. You then look at the AFC East. I mean, sure, I can get excited about Drake May if I'm a Patriots fan. You got to hope, though, do they nail everything after this?
Is the roster construction okay?
Is Gerard Mayo actually a good coach, what have you? Because the Chargers just went through this of, we've got Justin Herbert. Are you kidding me? We're going to go toe-to-toe now with Mahomes every year. And then they had Brandon Staley. And then their roster construction was really bad.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Miami-New England game, by the way. Essentially, the playoff field and the last bit of the race as we get into the home stretch would effectively be down to its final eight teams.
Sweet.
Because Miami losing drops them to 4-7. And yes, that's still only two games back on the Denver Broncos. But you also have to overcome the Colts at that point, too.
Yep.
And with 5 weeks left, with 6 weeks left, like that's still a lot of football to play. But you're also banking on you have to have two teams in front of you collapse.
Yeah.
And get out of your way.
Yeah. There doesn't. It does
that even
feel
allows
like
the Bengals.
The playoff picture is crystallizing. The Bengals lose again.
We're
going to see about the Dolphins, but the Jets lose again, sort of deal. Like you're
Jets
seeing teams fall away.
Yes. I would say the way that the Jets played, three games back, is a death sentence.
Yeah. You're already starting to see teams fall away. And again, you know, the Bills not really in this picture. They're more in the 1-2 seed picture. But I'm also...
And hilariously, if the Patriots win, they pass the Jets.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so good.
You're welcome.
But for me, I've looked more at the playoff picture of the 7 seed. Do you know who the Bills would be playing right now if the season ended today?
It's Denver.
It's Denver. I love that.
I take that.
You talk about, you know, it's better to be lucky than good. That's one of those where, oh, you mean our wild card round at home is against a rookie quarterback on his first playoff start in the on the road in Buffalo? I'm not saying it's going to go perfect,
but you Sean can't McDermott really ask for much better. Taking down the new kids.
Yeah, you can't really ask for much better there.
Like, the defense typically haunts the newbies.
Mm-hmm.
Typically. C.J. Stroud,
notwithstanding.
Actually, he did not have a great game against Buffalo.
Nico Collins' throw was awesome, though.
Yes, but that was a rookie making a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
That was it. You didn't see that play ever since, actually. That hasn't happened since.
No, that's right.
All right, 803-0550 is the number to call as Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're in for the time slot of One Bills Live for these next 2 days, but we're going to be able to go plenty through not just the Bills, but anything else that may be on our smooth brains through these next 2 days.
I might want to talk about Sean Dolak again.
Yes, and that's perfectly fine. UB football with a nice win again last night. Sean Dolak looks like that's going to be one fascinating Senior Bowl watch.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, actually, where
that's
where
a huge
are,
that's a huge Senior Bowl profile.
I'm very curious now where NFL draft experts. I'm doing the quotations because I get
yes.
it. I want to know where they have.
But where's Draft Twitter have him?
Yeah, like where is he going to be at? I want to know. But he's number one in FBS in tackles. Derek, after last night, he's second in the FBS in interceptions. He's a middle linebacker. He has five.
He's playing. He's like a certain Bills linebacker we know. He makes plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, 803-0550 is the number to call. By the way, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, he's at ZacharyJones198. I'm at Derek Kramer 49. Let's get into it as two dudes live hanging out with you. This is WGR.
As time rolls to his right to buy more, heaves it down the field, and it's intercepted! Picked off by Terrell Bernard. Game, set, match. Buffalo's going to emerge victorious with 107 to play.
Terrell Bernard is cool. He makes plays. And the Bills having him in the lineup is... they are a better team with him here.
Yeah. And his performance against Travis Kelce, what, two catches for eight yards? It's incredible. He has that pick there. He is one of the best middle linebackers
in
football.
The Kansas City Chiefs had to replace Travis Kelce through the aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say
like
this?
Noah Gray was a thing that caught two touchdowns. Or I don't even remember the rest of their tight ends, but they kept throwing to him, except for Travis Kelce. Why? Because the Bills bracketed him up.
They're not explosive.
They're not as explosive. And... you have Terrell Bernard on him. That's
that
a big deal.
That helps. And then also even Dorian Williams, too.
By the way, the whole, like, man, Chiefs fans forgot what it was like to actually lose a football game. And they just all came completely undone.
It had gone for a while. Yeah.
Barely used Kelce or like, oh, this is your Super Bowl. And I'm like, some of you don't know what pain is and, like, that's coming from the Chiefs fan base, which has known plenty of it before the Mahomes era. So you're the newbies.
My problem is I know personally I'm going to get there. I know I am. Like, if the Bills have like a run of success like the Chiefs have, I know I'll get there. That's just me personally, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But also, what I never want to do is start saying, sorry, it was their Super Bowl. That is used in every sport as a coping mechanism, and it's garbage and it's childish.
You say garbage, childish. I'm just gonna straight up go ignorant,
and I don't like it either. And I've even so many know I'm a Texas Longhorns fan, and I follow people who cover the team, and even some like you know higher profile fans and such as well. And even like they said too, it's like I'm so tired of being everyone's Super Bowl. Oh my goodness, like the team played bad. Like, can we just acknowledge it and then move on? They still won. Let's move on. It's the same with the Chiefs of, like, you guys have been kind of up and down all year. You won a lot, and then finally a team got you. A team that could match up really well with you.
And one of the few that can do it.
And if you're going to talk smack, it's right there. We've never beaten you in the playoffs with
Josh
Allen.
Well, that's where it gets drawn from, though, is like, oh, you did it. You celebrate now because you can't do it now.
Did you say that? Didn't you say that? I have the same problem with Dolphins fans. Y'all can't talk. You keep losing. It's the same with the Bills. I'm gonna cheer on this win, but the moment anyone says, what about the playoffs? I'm going to sit down. Scoreboard. It's a scoreboard. All right, cool.
No, ready. When it comes to playoffs, all I have to say is, we'll see.
We'll see, or yeah, scoreboard. Like, that's fine.
We'll see.
We need to be better as country in trash talking. We have lost the plot on that.
We have lost the plot on it. We've also lost the plot on accepting trash talking.
Yeah, too. That too.
Like, I don't know what happened, but we do not do a great job of accepting and taking the L anymore. And it's foolish. We need to be better as a country as taking in entertainment that, yeah, it's not going to go your way. And some people are going to laugh at you for it.
It's all good.
Laugh at yourself, too.
It's all good.
Like, it's all good.
Nate was...
At the end of the day, ultimately, it is a game that we're watching.
Yeah, it's
we don't even play it.
Basically a reality TV show.
Yes.
It's what it is. But I know Nate Geary was going back and forth with a Dolphins fan. And Nate was quote tweeting like old tweets. And the guy even came out. He was like, that's my bad. That's an L take.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was about the Bills receiving core.
Yeah, and I was like, that's like a first. And that, yes. not, I don't mean for Dolphins fans. I mean, like, I haven't seen that in a long time.
We as a people need to be better at, quite frankly, taking the hit on the chin.
Yeah.
Walking away and going, all right, got me.
We move on.
Get creative with your trash talk. Have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But also remember that you are to be humbled.
Yep.
Because only one franchise, one fan base gets to come away happy at this point.
Yeah, there's 32 teams, but 31 are going to be upset.
Well, 30 are going to be upset with the way their season
ends. Yeah, because usually the Super Bowl runner-up is at least thrilled they're there.
No, I was talking about whoever gets the first overall pick, because by then you already know you're bad.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll allow that one.
Yeah. Like when you're already at this point, like you're in the tank, like there are teams that aren't even tanking that are just bad. You already know that you're in it. And it's like, all right, well, you know what? This is dreadful. I got to endure 6 more weeks of this, 7 more weeks of this. Hopefully they can come out of this with the first overall pick.
Yep. Let's get to some phone calls here. We've got Rob on the air. Rob, how are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing very well. You guys got me fired up at the beginning of the show. You know what? Bills on parade, baby.
There it is.
That's what we're going to call it. Bills on parade. Rally round the Chiefs with a pocket full of sacks, my friend. I'm going to trash talk right now. Here we go. Rally round the Chiefs with a pocket full of sacks and interceptions. Derek, it's always a pleasure. You know you get me fired up every time. You know, listen, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I can't wait to get to the playoffs. I was talking to Shopin the Bulldog yesterday. The expectations in the beginning of the year were not very high. There was doubts, but now it's leave no doubts. We get healthy. We should be fine all the way through. But, you're just not two dudes. This is Bills on parade right now. Here we go. Thank you, guys.
Come with it now.
Thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate it. That was actually, by the way, nice job. Like, I know he probably had a little bit of time to think
that's
on
fine.
It
that's
and,
okay.
and put the lyrics to it, but
it's good.
It's also expertly done, Rob. So I gotta say, you know how to match my style. By the way, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com.
I'm excited though for the Bills.
Yes.
I was one of those fans, and I still am, and I do still stand by this. It is my problem. I get it. The excitement of the win did wear off faster than even I was anticipating. After watching the Allen touchdown run, I was like, I'm all the way there, the whole thing. But I was like, I'm going to wait till tomorrow to maybe say that. I woke up the next morning, and I was back to they got to do in the playoffs though. I know that's my cross to bear. I get it, but it is something now. Like they've been so good.
Yes.
I've got these wins. I've got these memories. A lot of it, too, I think for me as well, I wasn't at the game.
Yes.
You know,
people that were there, that's like that's a peak moment sort of thing. But don't forget what I said to enter the season.
I know.
The how was going to be very fascinating with this team this year. And what has happened? How are they doing this? It seems like it's a different recipe every week.
Which is why I think like Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports has mentioned. I think a few other people have mentioned, but I do watch his show often, that he thinks this is maybe the best version of the Bills under Josh Allen, the most balanced.
Because they win in different ways. There are games where you could say that a different player showed up and was kind of the star of it all.
We've had a few games where it was James Cook against Miami. We've had Ray Davis against the Jets. I've mentioned a lot with Keon Coleman. My favorite game of his was actually the Seattle game.
Seattle, yes.
I thought he
dominated.
Curtis Samuel.
Samuel had himself I would say his introduction proper to the Bills fan base
was this past Sunday.
It was this past Sunday.
So, and yeah, you're right. They've shown a number of ways.
Greg Rousseau in week one.
Oh, yeah.
Three sacks.
So, I mean, like, it seems like they've shown a number of ways that they can do this.
But it also makes sense. You want to know why? How, like, it's every week that a different player seems to be showing up as the star. Six players have won a player of the week designation. Nobody has gone on repeat yet either. Terrell Bernard has himself a day.
Has Josh Allen really not done a repeat?
No.
Oh, wow.
Or I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
You might need to look into that now to make sure if I was wrong.
I just want to make sure because Sal Capaccio tweeted it out yesterday, too. The most they've ever had in one season was seven, which happened in 1990, 91, 2020, 22, and 23.
So they do this a lot.
And there's a good chance they're going to add at least another one to tie those years, if not two more, to break them.
Ready? And this is kind of like me getting as arrogant as I'm going to get as a Bills pundit on this one. They're probably going to add to that in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks alone.
Two games against the Patriots and a Jets game in which, I mean, they may have already at that point benched Aaron Rodgers. I mean, realistically, they could have benched Aaron Rodgers at that
point.
Yep,
I'm ready for that, by the way. I'm ready for that conversation, but not for now. But again, the how is fascinating. The how was fascinating to me entering the season, and it is continuing to be fascinating to me because of the fact that they have shown to be the same old Bills throughout the regular season, which is an elite AFC contender. The only difference now is you have to change same old Bills in the playoffs conversation. That's the only difference. And now it leads me into this weird mix of fascination and then also like you staying a little more stoic on them of, all right, you got to do it in the playoffs though. But at the same time, I'm still enjoying what they're doing because it's not finished either.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, the story is still being written. We're still on the road.
Your kid is making macaroni art right now, and you are fascinated by what the heck is going on.
What is this going to be? What are they going to say it is and what does it look like?
It currently looks like a Jackson Pollock, but at the same time, it's going to like you're like, is he about to go like full Michelangelo on this thing? I don't know.
Still going to be probably a dinosaur by the end.
Just don't cut your ear off like Da Vinci. All right. That's dangerous macaroni art at that point.
It's very dangerous.
Slippery
slope. Although it could come out really, really nice.
What other show gets you a Leonardo da Vinci chopping his ear off joke? None. I'll tell you that. Two Dudes Live. That's who.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on. Frank Scott will get you guys after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here filling in for One Bills Live for the next 2 days. This is WGR.
Rounding out our number one here of Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, just two guys with a mic, just hanging out. We're vibing here. We're just chilling. We're hanging out, and we're glad you're hanging out with us here today in lieu of One Bills Live. They'll be back on Monday for a Buffalo Bills football Monday, even though no game has been played. No game has been played, but you still get a Buffalo Bills football Monday no matter what. And that's, as always, presented to you by Northwest Bank.
Impossible to lose the bye week. That's why it's the best.
And we'll have a fun bye week question, by the way, for y'all tomorrow.
Like,
you can't give everyone everything at once. You can't unveil the whole thing. You do also have to tease them with it.
A little dash of salt.
Yeah. Know. Let them know there's something promising coming up here tomorrow, too. So make sure you're jumping back in.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Frank on the line. Frank, how are we doing this morning? This afternoon.
I'm quite well. You guys are good. You're going to pass on to somebody else, but you're doing a good job there. By the way, I'm a longtime Bills fan. And matter of fact, I had two seasons down there way back when they opened up Rich Stadium and the O.J. Simpson years. And I got that measuring device of time till now. And I'm finding now I'm a little disappointed. Now, don't get me wrong. With the Bills, they're winning by the skin of their teeth. And I can't see why. I want your take on this. The offensive line is if I'll be nice, they're mediocre. They can't give Allen enough time to get his receivers, or the receivers aren't getting right in the right patterns. I'm going to lean that over to the fact that McDermott is running a very, very stagnant offense. He runs Cook through the same line all the time, repetitively, even into the third and fourth quarters when it hasn't been doing anything in the first half of the game. And I just think they got to be a little bit more creative. Like, look at Reed. He pulls out a funny play that they never even used, and all of a sudden the scouting of the other team is thrown in the pail. So what do you think? I just don't deal with whether they have a diversified enough play range, and they really do miss Diggs. This team is, I mean, they're doing well. Like, what is it, 9-2 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, and that looks good on paper. But I don't feel confident that they can take this, a team, and just, like, even when Allen goes in there, when a team's got, the opposition's got a bad leg or whatever, and he just doesn't seem to get his receivers, and he's overthrown a bit. I don't want to take it down on him, because I think the offensive line is not giving the guy enough protection to really figure out how he's going to get a system going. What do you think, guys?
Respectfully, Frank. Respectfully, I don't know where you're having concerns with the offensive line.
I have no idea.
They have allowed 13 sacks.
Yep.
In 11 games. That part of that has to do with Allen's escapability. Let's not go ahead and
ignore
that as a distinct factor. That said, they are one of the most consistent units in football. Also, skin of their teeth, Frank, my guy,
we're not talking about the Chiefs here.
We're not talking in the same reality right now. Yeah, Kansas City is the one that's been escaping games. Buffalo has now scored 30 points in 5 straight. And the only game that was one possession wasn't even Kansas City. It was Miami.
Yeah, a divisional opponent that finally gave the Bills a game. Honestly. I mean,
the Jets gave them a game. It was also the Bills were facing a Jets defense with the fired head coach bump.
I'm moving now to, I mean, like you brought up the point stat. Their offense is fine. I have my issues sometimes with Brady, the first down runs. I said it on Sunday. I don't love that all the time, but then they go to the play action game and it worked out well. Allen also,
as a matter of fact, their stats are deceiving. Stats are deceiving against the offense, mm-hmm. because the defense is playing so well, they're getting turnovers and they're creating short fields for the offense. Oh, yeah. It's complementary football. That's how it's supposed to actually go.
But
that's
even,
what the term of complementary football is.
But even on the deep ball thing, too, that he brought up, I don't know if the...
Deep balls are low percentage. This is not Madden. I don't know what the fascination is with constantly needing to hit the deep ball when you are efficiently moving the football step by step, game by game. Yes, there are a couple drives where they have a dip in their production. Typically, mm-hmm. it's in the start of games.
Yep.
But there is nothing to concern yourself with about the lack of deep ball. Do I hate the constant first down and 10 runs? Yes.
Yep.
Or like you see like 7 offensive linemen on the field and you know they're going to run the football? Yes. I do not like the predictability of the run game sometimes. That said, they also bailed on it when they needed to against the Chiefs. They figured out the hard way that it wasn't working. And how did they win that game? How'd they take over? By letting Josh Allen and the receivers do their job.
And really, since they've gotten Amari Cooper, and when he's playing, they're phenomenal on offense. I don't think they're missing Stephon Diggs at all, honestly.
I might be a fill-in, but I'll tell you right now, that's not it.
I don't think they're missing Stephon Diggs at all. Once they got Cooper involved, Shakir has one of the best catch ratings in the NFL. Keon Coleman's production, his development has gotten really good and really actually been quite linear up until he got hurt.
Curtis Samuel was healthy and deployed as like normal receiver.
And then Amari Cooper, once he was healthy, he's making one-handed catches with his cast hand.
Yeah. But also, man, Curtis Samuel being deployed with normal wide receiver routes, he looks healthy. He looks like he's fresh, and they're letting him go out there and make the plays.
I'll say this before we take our next timeout. Frank, with it being the bye week, I don't mean this like this, but watch the rest of the NFL. The Bills are ahead of a lot of people in most everything outside of 3 or 4 teams.
And I'll tell you right now, this isn't one Bills Live. I could just say it on my own free will here. Like, this is what they are.
They're very, very good, and they're getting better as the year goes on. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you until 3 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.